We are Senior Living Connectors. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Senior Living Connectors podcast, our first edition. And the idea behind this program is to really share great information, education, and resources. If you are that person helping that aging senior loved one navigate the next piece of this journey in life, it can be challenging, it can be overwhelming, it can be exhausting. And that's why we're starting this podcast, Senior Living Connectors, to guide you and to give you all of the help you need to support you along the way and help your senior loved one too. So today I'm going to talk to you, the caregiver. Boomer, are you really in that dilemma right now? What do I do with mom and dad? Life is changing. Are you the partner of a spouse who's had a medical event or a crisis? Are you a friend or a relative trying to help out that senior loved one? Or are you a professional caregiver? And do you need more education? That's what this show is all about, Senior Living Connectors. So today I want to talk to you, the adult child. And joining me is co-founder and partner with Senior Living Connectors, Kevin Craig. And Kevin, you are here today because you have a story to share about your mom. So welcome to the program.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you very much. Yes, I think of myself kind of as the poster child for what you just described.
The adult child. Who out of the blue, dad's taking care of mom, and now you and sister have the responsibility. Take us back to your story and what happened.
Well, I guess I'll start off by saying my father was my hero. He took care of so much that I was just not even aware of, it seems. And he was my mother's caregiver. My mother had several medical issues. She had a couple of bouts of cancer simultaneously. And dad just took care of all that. And I think my sister and I were shielded, even though we were adults, we were kind of shielded from that because dad just took care of all those things. And then in 2014, my father had a heart attack while he was out playing golf, which is exactly the way that he would have wanted to go. But it left my mother alone with just my sister and I then to take care of her, and we weren't prepared for what we were in for. And I really wish we would have paid more attention to what dad was doing with mom, because we kind of had to start from ground zero to figure out how to take care of a loved one, and we just were totally unprepared.
So let's talk about the emotion of that moment, because I think a lot of people get sideswiped when mom or dad take a turn for the worse, or like in your situation, dad leaves the planet, he passes away. What was going through your mind emotionally?
Well, I can remember my mother being obviously very distraught. It was a tough time for all of us because it was very unexpected. And one of her big concerns was, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do without your father? And I was there reassuring her that she was going to be fine because my sister and I were going to take care of everything. Yet in the back of my mind, I didn't have the slightest idea what I was going to be doing. And I was just trying to put on a very strong face for her to help her emotionally through a really tough time. But we were all going through a really tough time. And once the dust started settling, we started finding out really what we were dealing with mom's health and her being lonely, which I'm sure is a very common side effect of losing a loved one, is loneliness will create all kinds of issues as well. But it was just it was a scary time because all of a sudden we were in uncharted waters, places that we never even imagined that we were going to go. I can remember my mother back when I was probably 8 or 10 years old saying one time that all she asked to be when she got older is that I would have patience with her. And I still remember that. I thought, well, that's such an odd thing to ask. Like, why in the world would I not have patience with my mother? And now I keep reflecting back on that and realizing exactly what she meant. There's a lot of things that require additional patience, additional understanding, and just a lot of additional care. And we had no idea we were going down that road.
Hindsight is always 20/20, isn't it? The other wrinkle you had is your mom lived out of state. You're here in Arizona. Yes. With your family, and your mother, and did your sister live out of state as well in California?
Yeah, most of my family was in Northern California. My wife and I were kind of the rebels and got transferred around the country and never really came back to California. But my parents stayed in California. My sister and her family are in California, and all my extended family is in California. And so that became a challenge. I can now really empathize, I guess, with what my sister was going through, because since she was the closest to my mother, yet being still 2.5 hours away, she was the one that took on the responsibility for my mom's care and kind of overseeing what was going to happen with mom while she was in Northern California. The entire time I'd been lobbying to have her come to Arizona, because I've also got my family down here with my kids, my son-in-law's grandchildren.
That, your network.
Yeah, my network, that I felt like we could take better care of her. And now I'm starting to really see what my sister was dealing with. I mean, my mom, I guess, for all intents and purposes, is not really a difficult person to deal with. She's totally fine, very cognitive and all that, but it's just the... It's almost like a 24/7 need of some type of care or assistance. And I can now see where my sister was really stepping up and taking care of that. Now that she's in Arizona and I've assumed that kind of responsibility, I really appreciate what my sister was going through.
Yes, and the roles have changed.
Yes.
What we're going to do is take a break, and when we come back, Kevin is going to continue his story. And again, for all of you out there who can relate to this scenario, where do you turn for help? And Kevin's going to be sharing a little bit about the person that turned things around to help him
yes.
navigate this journey. So we'll take a break right now. We're Senior Living Connectors. Go ahead and check us out online, seniorlivingconnectors.com. Trusted resources, you are not alone. Let us help you navigate this life journey for you and your senior loved one. We'll be right back. What's your aging plan? No, not a retirement plan, but a strategy to handle the decisions you're going to have to make as an aging senior or for a senior loved one you're caring for now. Hi everyone, I'm Heidi Fogelsong, spokesperson for Senior Living Connectors, inviting you to get started on creating a smart aging plan with all of the trusted resources you need from our coalition of quality healthcare companies. We're a free service that's easy to access. Call Senior Living Connectors today at 602-698-9720. That's 602-698-9720. Or visit us online at seniorlivingconnectors.com. And remember, we're here for you. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to our Senior Living Connectors podcast. And today, to all of you adult children out there, we are talking to you. You are in a dilemma. You know you are here and you are overwhelmed and don't know where to turn. How are you going to take care of mom and dad, or maybe your partner, your spouse, that special senior loved one? We are here today talking to co-founder of Senior Living Connectors, Kevin Craig, and also an adult child having to take care of his mom. As you heard in our last segment, Kevin's father passed away, who was the primary caregiver of your mother, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And now Kevin's here to say, okay, I was stuck. My sister and I didn't know where to turn. There were a bazillion decisions to make. Welcome back, Kevin. Tell us about the next part of the story, where you turned for help.
Yeah, well, that was the real challenging part, because we didn't know what we didn't know. We were fairly certain that there were good resources available to us, but we just didn't know where to go to find those resources. And our understanding of the senior living industry was very, very limited back then. Fortunately, I had met who is now the founder of Senior Living Connectors, Scott Fisher. And I'd met him through a series of networking events, and we became pretty good friends. And I saw him as a really good resource for me with what my mother was going through. And I could call pretty much any time and talk to Scott and find out, okay, what should I do next? And we had some really, really challenging times. Like, she ended up in the hospital with something called ascites, where her abdomen was filling up with fluid. We couldn't figure out why. It really didn't look good. It didn't look to my sister and I like we were probably going to be getting mom alive out of the hospital. So we were at a loss of what, exactly what to do. We felt like we were completely at the mercy of the hospital staff to kind of drive us in the right direction. But trying to understand what they were doing and understand the results of all the tests, we were just really struggling with that. So I called Scott and said, you know, what would you do if this was your mom? And one, I can clearly remember one of the recommendations he made is that I needed to find a patient advocate. In some cases, they're called nurse advocates. But it's somebody that works as a liaison between the medical staff at the hospital and the family to really sort through what truly are the issues. They can read charts. They understand the orders and stuff that doctors are giving.
And that's just amazing, because I would never have known there is such a thing as a patient advocate. I thought you just had to fight through the system yourself.
I had no idea. The first question that the patient, once we found the right person as a patient advocate, as a recommendation from Scott, one of the first questions she asked is, well, has your mother been admitted to the hospital? And I said, well, of course she has. She's been in there for 4 days. So, and the nurse advocate said, no, not necessarily. That she could be in under observation, which just blew my mind. I had no idea how that could even be. So we inquired with the hospital and found out that, sure enough, for 4 days, she'd been in the hospital simply under observation and had never actually been admitted to the hospital, which meant that Medicare was not covering her expenses. And also, it didn't qualify her to receive any type of skilled nursing rehabilitation once she came out of the hospital before she went back into either an independent situation or a assisted living situation, because you have to have a 3-day admittance to the hospital to qualify for that and have Medicare cover it. How are we to know that? We had no idea. But thank goodness Scott had made this suggestion. Scott also helped us when it came to placement, and we're trying to find what the right assisted living community would be for mom. We had very strict criteria that we needed to follow to keep her happy and to keep us happy. But I couldn't possibly know all the different assisted living communities and what all the different amenities were and which ones would fit our criteria and which ones wouldn't. So once again, I turned to Scott.
And he was able to pretty much streamline, based on that needs assessment, the top five places to check.
Exactly, yeah. I think it was like the top five or six. And then he took me on tours and we went and toured them, and I got to see them myself and find the best fit for what I felt was the best fit for mom. And along the way, he introduced me to other resources that I would have never known to even look for on my own.
And that's the other piece you've brought up several times, and I don't think people realize the decision fatigue, because you don't just need one person to help you find a place for mom. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a team sport. You need to surround yourself with an entire team, and if you don't even know who plays what position or who's available to come into the game, how can you possibly compete in a game like that? So fortunately, I had Scott, and it almost makes me feel guilty, because I'm sure there are plenty of adult children out there probably listening to this that are either going through this, have been through this, or are going to be going through this. And they're at a severe disadvantage from where I was, because they may not necessarily have a Scott Fisher type person that they can turn to, which is ultimately what kind of sparked the idea of putting together Senior Living Connectors. So we have one place that everybody can go to find these resources, so they're no longer hidden.
Fast forward today to your mother, her well-being now, how you're holding up, how your sister's doing, after going through what really can be traumatic when it comes to having to do a crash course in caregiving.
Well, right now I can say I feel like my mother's thriving. And once again, I have to credit Scott with a lot of that, because not only did he set us up with the right assisted living community, but he set us up with the right caregivers. He continues to be a go-to person for resources. And so she's now comfortably living in Arizona in an assisted living community. They've made her one of their ambassadors, so she now welcomes new residents to the community and takes them on tours and makes sure that they have somebody to sit with at dinner and lunch, and she can introduce them to other people. She participates in bingo and their activities. I see her probably 3-4 days a week, which before I was seeing her maybe 3 or 4 days or times a year. So I see her a whole lot more, but I get to see her under positive, uplifting conditions because she's thriving, not crisis conditions like I was seeing her in before.
And how are you doing just as the son of your mother today, knowing that she has a place to live, she has resources? Do you feel relief? Is this just kind of a new normal? Express in just a few words the feeling today versus when you got the news that your dad had passed away and your sister had to step up.
Okay, well, and I'm gonna kind of pick an interim period there where my dad had already passed away, but my mom was living independently when she really shouldn't have been living independently. But it was by her choice, and we were trying to allow her time to make her own decisions.
And that's a common scenario.
Yes, but I worried about her 24/7. I knew that no matter what time I was thinking of her, she was probably sitting in her chair watching something on television by herself. I was worried about whether or not she was eating healthy. I mean, there was even a time when I started more or less interrogating her about her diet and found out that she was living off Rice Krispies just because it was easy and convenient for her to fix and she didn't have to spend time in the kitchen. I said, you know, that's great, Mom, but that's not giving you any nutritional value. Whereas today, with the resources that we found and the location where she is, I know she's getting 3 really good meals a day. I know that somebody's coming in and taking care of her medication distribution, which again is something that I don't think a lot of family members think of. By the time that you're in your late 80s, 90s, you're taking a series of medications for a series of different ailments, and taking one too many of something or not taking something can be fatal. And so that was a lot of pressure on my sister and I to make sure that there was somebody to administer Mom's medication. Now that's all being taken care of for her. There's a certain time each day that they come in and see her and bring her medication. I know that there's people to check on her. She's got a lanyard around her neck that's got a little help button. So if there's any time that she needs assistance with anything, she can push that and staff will come running, where in the past I was worried that I was going to be getting one of those phone calls from somebody that found her 24 hours after she'd fallen or something. And it just gives me a whole different peace of mind knowing that that's all taken care of right now.
And peace of mind is a real key when it comes to navigating this journey with your senior loved one as best as possible. We are going to come back and hear some words of wisdom from Kevin, a little bit about how you can get started, more about Senior Living Connectors, and how we really can help all of you adult children out there. You don't have to struggle. There is help right around the corner. Also, if you'd like to check us out, find out more, go to seniorlivingconnectors.com. Also, call our number. Our clinical concierge is also standing by to answer your questions. We'll take a brief pause, and when we come back, what's next for you and your family? Don't go away. Are you the person taking care of that senior loved one? It could be your parent, partner, relative, friend, or just someone in need. Hi everyone, I'm Heidi Fogelsong, spokesperson for Senior Living Connectors, a valuable resource you can tap into free of charge to help your aging loved one navigate this part of the life journey more easily and bring you a little more peace of mind. Call Senior Living Connectors today at 602-698-9720. That's 602-698-9720. Or find out more about our coalition of companies and services ready to help you right now by visiting our website, seniorlivingconnectors.com. We are Senior Living Connectors, a podcast, a platform, also a resource for all of you out there really struggling when it comes to navigating the next chapter of your senior loved one's life, especially when there are health conditions, maybe cognitive compromises. Senior Living Connectors is here to share information and people who can help you along the way. We've been enjoying a great conversation with Kevin Craig, who is co-founder of Senior Living Connectors, but also an adult child who suddenly, overnight, had to become a caregiver, taking care of Mom along with his sister. So Kevin, first of all, we want to thank you for sharing your story. I think so many people are going through this. How many people do you talk to
in
your world who are either on the cusp of this, in the throes of it, or suffering with the aftermath of it?
You know, it's an Easter egg hunt, because in almost any setting, there are people out there that are going through this either right now, or they're going to be going through it, or they just went through it. And anytime this topic comes up, those people identify themselves. But before that, I mean, they look like anybody else that's just going through life doing their thing. You don't realize that they're carrying this burden around with them of caring for a loved one. And it's sad, because I think any group that you talk to, you're going to find there's plenty of people going through the same thing. It's either been your turn or it's going to be your turn. That's about the only way to look at it.
We're also baby boomers, the sandwich generation. Okay, the kids moved back home. We're taking care of our kids. We're taking care of our parents. We're taking care of family members. We're getting squished. For the baby boomer out there, for the adult child out there, Kevin, what would be your maybe three key takeaways from your experience that you've shared with us, having to really jump in after your father passed away to take care of your mother and find everything from a patient advocate to the right home environment based on her needs today? What do you tell those people out there, your advice?
Well, I'd tell them that there's help available, and I believe me, I know plenty of people my age that are going through the same kind of thing. And it seems to have been, I mean, hopefully this is going to be past tense, but it seems to have been almost a shameful thing that the mother has had to move back in, or the mother-in-law has had to move back in with the family, and now the family is dealing with that. And it's just something that's not talked about. And I think that one of the other misnomers is that the family, the adult children, are the only ones that are going to be able to deal with this, and they take it all on themselves without thinking about the resources that may be out there. And quite often, this whole situation happens in a crisis, like what I went through with my father. My father passes away suddenly and unexpectedly, and immediately you're in a crisis. Now what do we do with mom? Very few people, I think, actually plan this out and say that, hey, it's inevitable. It's going to happen at some point. They may not all go instantly like my father did, but they may be more like my mother, and it may, you know, take several years of dealing with other issues, one at a time and sometimes all at once. But the family, I think, a lot of the time thinks that it's their responsibility to bring mom and or dad back in and take care of everything, and it's not. The time that I have with my mother now is quality time. We go shopping together. She comes and hangs out at our house. We go to family dinners together on Sunday. Usually once a week we'll go out to dinner at a restaurant and take mom with us. And it's great, because when we take her back to the assisted living community, I know that she's well taken care of. And if I hadn't have found someone like Scott, or if there wasn't something that existed like Senior Living Connectors to help other people live the same kind of life and be able to know that mom or dad is being taken care of, once again, it all falls on the family. And no matter how strong your family is, no matter how strong your marriage is, it's going to be challenging. You're going to be tested when it comes time to deal with this yourself. So the more help you can get, the greater the chances that you'll come out the other side, you know, in good shape.
So I want to wrap up by talking about your purpose, your passion about Senior Living Connectors. Really, this is something that hasn't been done before. Why did you and Scott decide that Senior Living Connectors had to be created? What was the mojo, the motivation, the reason to say, we have to do something to help people out there dealing with the silver tsunami of people aging? It's a big group.
Yeah, well, this is all new for us. This isn't something that generations before us have all had to go through. I mean, people are living longer these days because of medical science, but they're not necessarily living quality lives. They still need a lot of care. And it's just something that we saw was needed. And I've, like I said a little earlier in our discussion, I felt almost guilty that I had a go-to person. I had a guy. I had Scott Fisher that could point me in the right directions. And I feel sorry for people that don't know someone like a Scott Fisher. So it's a way of taking a lot of the information that's in Scott Fisher's head, a lot of the resources that he's aware of, plus additional, and put them all into one location so that people like me, adult children, can go to a seniorlivingconnectors.com or they can pick up the phone and call the clinical concierge, tell their story, and somebody on the other end of the phone will act as the Scott Fisher to be able to tell them, here are the resources that you could probably use right now, here's what they do, and we can kind of walk you through this whole thing. So adult children can feel comfortable that knowing that they're not alone in this anymore, that there actually is a resource out them that will point them in the right direction.
That's awesome. Kevin, thanks for sharing your story and your time here on
Thank you for having me, Heidi. This
first
has been
podcast.
Great.
It's great. Senior Living Connectors, we are going to be featuring a variety of topics on this podcast. In fact, next time we'll be talking with Scott Fisher, who is also co-founder, who specializes in the right home placement for your aging senior loved one. Home for now or home for the next stage in life. So go ahead, check out our website, seniorlivingconnectors.com. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.